Hi, my name is Christian Palmas. I'm Director of Operations at Palmas Vineyards, and I would love for you to learn more about the way we use technology at Palmas Vineyards. You can see us at www.palmasvineyards.com.
Thank you for listening to iWine Radio. I'm Lynn Crelo Chamberlain.
Welcome to Wine and Dine. Long, 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 long time, I'm a dedicated Mac user at home. At work, I use a PC. Oh, I don't like PCs so much, although I've learned to tolerate them. But at home, it's all about Mac. And so over the holiday break here, I kept seeing on the homepage for Apple, there was this video that was up that really caught my attention. And let me give you the title of that video. Let me find it here. Life on iPad, the modern making of a vintage. Christian Gaston Palmas, Director of Operation for Palmas Vineyards, basically analyzes powerful data on iPad to transform the way he manages his winery from the vineyard to the tanks and even the tasting room. Now, I've interviewed one winemaker so far. While he was on the plane going all over the place, he was able to check what was going on in his tanks from his cell phone. So this is very interesting to me, and we will have links up for you to watch the video and listen. But Christian's joining us today, and thank you so very much for your time. You've got quite a nice property going on there, and Christian, if you would be so kind as to give us some history of the Cedar Knoll transformed into Palmas Vineyards, and then your family's history.
Sure. Well, thank you, Lynn, first of all, for having me on your program. Our property originally was founded in 1878 by a man named Henry Hagen. And those early years of the Valley, there were some pioneers that most of them European immigrants, some of them fleeing the phylloxera infestation in Europe. You know, but Henry Hagen was a very influential person for the Valley as he was trying to really create a quality wine. And he founded the property and began what was known back then as Cedar Knoll Vineyards. And Hagen produced very similar wines to what we do today. We believe he had a somewhat of a Bordeaux-esque blend. We know that he made a white, and we know that he made a Sauternes. And he garnered a lot of awards in his day, but most notably, he won a silver medal at the Paris Exposition in 1889. And of course, after that, did very well for himself. But Hagen, although he survived phylloxera, prohibition was kind of proved fatal for Cedar Knoll Vineyards. And so, between Prohibition and when my family bought the property in 1997, the property surprisingly lay fallow. So it never had, you know, a vineyard operation or an active winery on site. It lay in the hands of one family during that period, and we were very fortunate to find it in its state, although very far from a turnkey operation.
Yeah,
we were very fortunate to sort of start over. You know, my parents restored the home back to its original configuration, and my father began planting the vineyards, and of course, we built the winery. And our history, my family's originally from Argentina. My parents moved to the United States in 1979. My father was a physician. He's an interventional radiologist, and kind of what really brought him to the United States was to further his residency at UC Davis. And it was during that time that, you know, Mom and Dad spent all their free time in Napa Valley, and they certainly got bit by the bug. And my father ended up becoming the inventor of the balloon expandable stent. And that, at the time, you know, a very important and still is a very important medical device. You know, I think like more than one in five people in the United States will receive one in their lives.
Wow.
It's a unique device, and he spent the majority of his life creating that. And that process of making the stent a reality then took us to San Antonio, Texas. So we weren't quite ready to sink our roots into Napa until the late 90s. But finally, I believe in 1992, Johnson & Johnson licensed the patent and made stenting commercial. And my father and my mother got to realize their dream in Napa Valley. And very, very, very fortunately, my sister and I got to grow up a little bit in the fairy tale dream that is to make wines in Napa Valley.
But your background is kind of what it plays into all this. You finished with a bachelor's in business and gained an interest in geoscience and computer science. So all this GSI, geographical information systems in the vineyard. Is this kind of what started this whole iPad sort of thing? It's just fascinating and definitely the future.
Well, you know, I think what happened was, you know, I was slated to go into this business with the same kind of educational base that everyone else has in the Valley, you know, UC Davis, viticultural enology.
Right.
But my father pushed me to maybe go a little bit out of the norm. And he said, why don't you find the institution that had the most investment in innovation in agriculture? And surprisingly, well, not surprisingly, that was not necessarily in viticulture, you know, in the science of winemaking or in growing grapes, but actually was around ethanol production.
Okay.
And this one school in San Antonio, Texas, Trinity University, had a very, very interesting program, which was basically a geoscience program that I got very interested in. And I met a very important professor named Dr. Krager, who was pioneering some very important work around remote sensing and some very technical geoinformational systems that I was then able to apply to viticulture once I got out of school. And the technology base for this, when I arrived to Napa and I started, you know, as director of operations, and I had been, you know, working there every summer since I was 12 years old, but I was a little surprised to see almost a lack of innovation in some of the aspects in the industry. And not necessarily because there was a giant need for it, but just because of other agricultural industries in the United States were so far leaps and bounds ahead of the wine industry. And I started to hire the right people and build up a bit of a, almost continuing what my father's approach to the winery was, to sort of create something that is more academic in nature.
Okay.
Where we work with people who work to create something that is better than maybe the status quo. And it's a culture we have at Palmas.
So
basically, over time, you know, this evolved into all this very amazing software that we use on the Apple's technology, the iPad and the Mac.
Now, what you use or you developed some kind of, Palmas uses a field assets app, and you use Topo Maps app.
Now, that
doesn't have anything to do with what you're doing in the winery itself, all the control of the tanks and all.
Right, right. So they're kind of separate things. So I can talk to you a little bit about the vineyard side.
Okay.
So in the vineyard, there's something that's been used in the Valley before, and they're called NDVIs, which stands for Normalized Difference Vegetation Index. And what we do, and this happens in a lot of different industries, not just the wine industry, you'll put an aircraft in the air. And this aircraft has a camera on it, and it's sensitive to infrared wavelengths, right? So it measures something called base reflectivity. So it measures sort of the infrared bounce from the sun, right? The sun's kind of like your light bulb in the sky.
Okay.
And the camera is sensing the amount of infrared light that's bouncing off the leaves of the plant. And what it's able to do with this information is understand the plant's vigor, or how happy that plant is, with an assumption that the brighter the plant looks, appears to the camera, based on its amount of chlorophyll and its leaves and other chemical compounds that a happy plant has that, say, an unhappy plant doesn't have. You can then kind of take this information and sort of say, all right, these plants over here in this area of the vineyard or this parcel are happier or more vigorous than these ones that are over here. And this technology has existed for a long time, but always the glaring problem with this technology is that you may know where the plants are happy, but you don't exactly know why they're happy.
I know. I remember, right, so, people were using it to detect phylloxera in vineyards 20 years
sure.
ago.
Yeah, absolutely, because, you know, phylloxera or any other pest was, you know, devastating to the vigor of the vine, and that could be picked up.
Okay.
This technology has been around. So what we do is we try to use this information to try and understand a better image, and then take it to the next level by gathering more data in the vineyard and then understanding why the plants are happy.
Christian, we're going to go to a short break here. When we come back, we're going to continue right where we left off. Christian Gaston Palmas of Palmas Vineyards in Napa. The website is palmasvineyards.com. This is great 21st century conversation on Wine and Dine.
Hello, my name is Greg Lambrecht. I'm the founder and inventor of Corvin, the first system to allow you to enjoy your wine by the glass without pulling the cork. You can find out more at our website, www.corvin.com.
Hi, my name's Jeff. I'm from Australia, Byron Bay, and I'm the designer and creator of the Code 38 Professional Wine Key. You can check it out at www.code38.com.
iWine Radio is a production of Food Tastes Better with Wine on the web at iWineRadio.com.
I'm Lynn Crelo Chamberlain.
Welcome to Wine and Dine.
We are continuing our conversation with Christian Gaston Palmas, who is a genius. And I'm sure he attributes that to the guidance of his father and mother, Palmas Vineyards. 21st century, you know, using all this technology we have and applying it to what's going on in the vineyard is where we were basically left off at the last. Christian, before you give us more explanation, I am absolutely dying to know how Apple found you, or, you know, how this all came together that you were featured on the website of incorporating, because it's you're basically, I'm sure, giving other people ideas.
You know, I still ask myself that question. I'm not really sure how. You know, we see a lot of people in the winery every year. And I guess one thing that we do is our tours, our experience when you come visit the winery, we tend to, well, I guess, geek out with the customer a little bit. We really go in depth to show. And if you've ever done a tasting at Palmas Vineyards, you'll know there's a lot of audiovisual that goes on in the tasting room. There's all these kind of neat, there's all these screens everywhere. And we like to be kind of very in-depth with the data.
Okay.
You know, helping the end consumer understand, you know, what happened at harvest time in that vintage. Or we like to throw metrics into, a tasting note card that you wouldn't otherwise see in a normal winery. So
okay.
I think maybe just through the word of mouth,
okay.
Apple, somehow we piqued their interest. And of course, we use their products.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, makes sense. So, okay, so you've got this NBVI technology that you're trying to figure out exactly what's going on with the vines. And
Right. So imagine we have now this image, right? We've taken an aircraft, we have this infrared image, and we know where plants are happy, where they're not, but we don't exactly know why they're happy or why they're not. So by doing a little more analysis, we can then produce an image that helps us understand why they're happy and then maybe what we can do to help them get more balanced, right? Because at the end of the day, everything we do in the vineyard is so that we grow the best fruit possible and so that when you, the winemaker, at the end of the year and you're walking down those rows in that particular parcel, the fruit should taste the same to you, right? So my job as the farmer is to deliver consistency and quality. And so what you don't want is, you know, you go through areas of the vineyard that are maybe very, very ripe, maybe more ripe than you want, but then you go through another area, and because the soil is a little different, and when you irrigate or you put nutrients down or your cover crop or all the cultivation process you do, maybe that part of the vineyard grows a little bit differently, because there's a sheer fact of all farming that there is no such thing as truly homogeneous soil.
Yeah,
right. Soil is never the same. And it doesn't matter how well you designed your vineyard. We try our best to understand the soils and parcel the vineyards off. And my father did a wonderful job of this back in 1997. There's still no such thing as a vineyard that can be farmed all the same. And so we, instead of making the assumption that when I irrigate every vine the same way, or when I plant a cover crop, I plant the same cover crop across every inch of that vineyard, we begin to look at the vineyard as many, many individual plants that all need individual care. And so technology helps us get the bigger picture. And the problem is, it's impractical to send a technician into the vineyard to take samples from every plant. It's too slow.
Right.
So by marrying this NDVI technology with some additional metrics, such as going into the vineyard, let's say in 5 random locations in that parcel, I sent you into the vineyard and I asked you to collect all kinds of data pertinent to that plant's vigor. So you go and you grab
soil moisture, nutrient data, compaction data. And you come back to the winery. We collect all this using the iPad, using an application called Field Assets. And it gets compiled into a server. And then the server does a very quick and simple statistical analysis, taking the NDVI data and statistically correlating it to which one of those values seems to have the highest statistical reason for why that plant is happy. 9 times out of 10, plants are happy because there's water in the ground.
Yeah.
Right? And so what happens is the percolability of that water, you know, how, so if I dump a gallon of water in this part of the vineyard and it percolates the soil at a certain rate of time, and then I go over to the other part of the vineyard and maybe it's more gravelly and I dump a gallon of water, well, that water goes through the roots very quickly.
Right.
Then what this does, it produces an image that we can then know how much to irrigate exactly where. And then we adjust the irrigation so that the vines that are needing water are getting the amount of water they need, and the ones that don't quite need so much because the soil perhaps is more is able to retain the water a little longer, they get a little bit less. And so we call this high-resolution irrigation. We're monitoring how much each plant needs and then giving that exact plant the water it needs. And it's amazing that this, since we've enabled this process since about, I think, 2009, I think, is when we really got in the swing of this, our water consumption values across the board have dropped nearly 30%.
I believe it. Let me ask you a couple of pointed questions because we don't have that much time left. So are we talking 55 acres under vine, 14 different terroirs, 3 different elevations?
Yes. Basically, imagine, our property, 610 acres, goes up and over Mount George, encompasses 3 major elevations of vineyards. Actually, currently 57 are under vine, and there are many, many parcels amongst these different areas, but each of them, you know, very different microclimate, soil types. And so this kind of is what translates to the winery, right? So why the winery was built in the way it was.
And the majority of your effort is in growing Cabernet with a little bit of Merlot, Petit Verdot, Cabernet Franc, and then you also have small lots of Chardonnay, Riesling, Muscat, and Malbec.
That's correct. Yeah, we have all 5 Bordeaux and the 3 whites.
So are you in national distribution with Palma's Vineyards, or should people, the best way to get up with you be through the website for direct ordering?
Yeah, well, currently about 80 to 90% of Palma's is sold direct to consumer, directly from the winery.
Okay.
A smaller percentage of it, 10, 20%, finds its way into the restaurant, retail world.
Okay.
But then we have a second label, Cedar Knoll Vineyards, Hagen's old label, and that's 100%. That's 100% restaurant retail.
Okay. And is that the same grapes? I mean, it's made mainly Cabernet?
Yeah, exactly. Everything gets made into its individual, most fundamental ingredient form.
Okay.
Nothing gets combined until 2 years later. The winemakers sit down, and we make the very best wine we can from that. That's Palmont. And then we make the second best wine we can from that. That's Cedar Knoll Vineyards.
Wow. Christian, I could talk to you all day long. We're basically at the end of our time here. We thank you so very much for you joining us this week on Wine and Dine. And there's so much more to the story. We haven't even talked about how you're monitoring what's going on with the wines and tank and that sort of thing. So the best place for people to get up with you and learn more is at palmasvineyards.com, right?
That's correct. Thank you.
And we will have links up for people to watch this video, and I want to quote something. The quality of the wine we produce today is dramatically better because of the powerful information iPad puts at our fingertips. The modern making of a vintage. Christian Gaston Palmas, thank you so very much for your time.
Thank you.
Fascinating. We will have links up for you to learn more, and you're listening to Wine and Dine.
You're listening to iWine Radio.